This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If a stadium could only talk, for the last time, RFK Stadium, the site of today's match between the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins, another sellout, no surprise there. They've had them since the beginning. RFK Stadium, what a place it is. Pat Summerall here with John Madden, and it's sad in many ways to be a part of the goodbye to this great arena, but it's an honor to be included.
Yeah, it's a real honor, and I think right now there's no place that I would rather be right now than right here at RFK Stadium, and because we've seen so many great players and so many great games here. And
that was Pat Summerall and John Madden, December 22nd, 1996, the day the Redskins played their final game at RFK Stadium. The next fall, they opened up a new stadium in Landover, and things were never and haven't been quite the same. Good morning, everybody. So much to do on this Monday following a Caps win, an NFL draft that produced five new players for Washington, controversy and drama throughout the world of sports all weekend with NBA controversies and crazy endings and Shedeur Sanders getting pranked. But we will carry the press conference at 11 a.m. where Mayor Muriel Bowser, Josh Harris, the owner of the Washington Commanders, and Roger Goodell will be together. Yeah, Roger Goodell will be there as well to announce the deal for RFK at 11 a.m. So keep it here. We'll carry that presser live. We'll carry some of the Q&A that goes on because there are a lot of questions. Real quickly, that was a huge win for the Caps. You know, there were games played this weekend. There were things that are current, not 5 years from now things. What a hit by Tom Wilson early in the third period. Set up that game tying goal. Caps with a big third period, really, for the first time in this series. And they win 5-2 to take a commanding 3-1 lead in this series. They get an extra day before Game 5 Wednesday night at home. But really a big win considering that, you know, for a while, down 2-1 and 0-5 on the power play, which included a two-man advantage for about a minute and a half as well. But they came through in the third period. That hit by Tom Wilson was a game changer for sure. I don't know if it should have been penalized or not. I'm not enough of a hockey guy to know. I know his rep precedes him, and there are a lot of people that thought it should have been or could have been, or they were surprised it wasn't. But, man, what a game-changing play. More on the Caps' big win later on in the show. So the NFL draft is over. Washington had five picks going in. They didn't make one trade, not one. All weekend long, they drafted five players. The class, like last year's class, is very athletic. We'll get into what they got and what we think a little bit this hour, but Cooley, you'll hear from him on the show. He broke down Josh Connerly Jr. And did that on my podcast on Friday, so I'll play about 15 minutes of that. He likes the player a lot. Ben Standig will join us today on the show at 12. Yeah, what a crazy weekend. Max is with me. I mean, I watched a lot of hoops. I'm not going to lie to you. Certainly watched the Caps. Day three of the draft, I had it on. I was certainly following what Washington was doing. I'll tell you, of the three players selected on day three, there is one that I really like a lot, and I'll get to him in a bit. But let's start with, you know, the RFK announcement that is upcoming at 11 a.m. It looks like a go. Now, we learned this, about a week ago when NBC4 broke the news. 2030 is the target. This will be a translucent dome stadium, we're pretty sure. I'm sure we'll hear more about the details of what the stadium will look like during the 11 a.m. press conference. There are still hurdles. You know, this is going to be a very positive, upbeat press conference, and this is a big part of what the mayor has been trying to accomplish. Mayor Bowser has done something here over the last 6 months that will be lasting for her legacy, even though there are more important things. There aren't things that are higher profile or higher exposure than stadiums. Keeping Washington's NBA and NHL team in Chinatown with $515 million of renovation commitment, and then getting the football team back to D.C. after 27 seasons in Maryland with potentially $850-plus million of private and public and taxpayer commitment will certainly be something that she will be remembered for. But there are hurdles. This isn't going to be a done deal when you hear it. I'm sure they will get asked about where the city council is. 12 members currently because of the Ward 8 issue. So they're going to still need 7 out of 12 votes for it to pass. You still have, as it's been explained a couple of times on this show with various guests, you're still going to have zoning challenges. You're going to have the NIMBYs, the not in my neighborhood people. There is a push for a public vote on the ballot for primary season. Those votes typically, when they're voted on by the public, never go well, typically for billionaire owners and cities who want taxpayer dollars for stadiums. So there is still stuff that needs to happen, but it got to at least this point where the city, A, got the land, B, they got a deal done with the team. This was always, I think, the odds-on favorite. Once the land, because they could have done nothing without having the ability have an extended, 100-year lease on the RFK site, the 170-plus acres. And you have a deal between the city, which the city will end up funding a significant part of the infrastructure. The team will build the stadium and the surrounding retail, mixed-use, residential as well, and will benefit from that, I am sure. $3 billion is essentially going to be the price tag, and it looks like, at least for now, and the odds would favor this, that the council will pass and that, you know, those that will push back on this in terms of using taxpayer dollars or using that big parcel of land for a sports stadium. Ultimately, I do think we have the news that we've wanted for a long time. And getting Washington's football team, the Redskins, for all of those years. The Commanders did not play at RFK Stadium, just to be clear. There's been a lot of references to bringing the Commanders home. It's bringing the Washington football franchise home, because the Washington football franchise was the resident of D.C. from 1961 through 1996. Bringing the Commanders to their first home in D.C. is a more accurate way of putting it, but we can move on from that. But yeah, it's 5 years away. And what's ironic about all of this is that there is great, I think, happiness among the team's fans. Now, not everybody's thrilled with this. I'm a D.C. resident, and there are many D.C. residents that don't want this. They don't want their taxpayer dollars going to this. But in terms of the team's fan base, overwhelmingly, every poll, every survey, including the team's own internal surveys, have indicated for a long time what we all know, what we've all known intuitively, and that is the home of this football team should be in the city, and that RFK site in particular. Not that it'll look anything like what it used to look like. nor do we want it to, really. Come on. It is 2025 and 2030 when the stadium will open. And there will be massive events at that stadium from 2030 on. I think, you know, once this gets done, we're 10 years or less away from a Super Bowl. Yeah, you'll get a Super Bowl as long as you have the requisite capacity of 65,000 plus, which it'll have. I don't think it'll be much more than 65,000, and a dome stadium in a cold weather city. They'll never do an outdoor cold weather city Super Bowl again. Not after what happened at Giant Stadium when the weather was cold, but it was clear. But less than 12 hours after the game, they had a foot of snow on the ground. They'll never risk their biggest day for that, especially since by the time we get to a Super Bowl in, say, 2032 or 2033, it'll be happening even later than the Super Bowls happen right now. But the irony of this happening now is that the experience in Landover over 27 years was brutal, except for the last year. And it was brutal first and foremost because a losing team most of the time played in that stadium. Had Dan Snyder never purchased the team and there had been a decent owner, a competent owner that had owned the team all of those years at FedEx Field and produced even a modest amount of winning, you know, a normal amount of winning, because the NFL is designed for every franchise to win occasionally, to have a really good season or two occasionally, to be in the postseason and maybe even win a game or two occasionally. Our franchise didn't do that for 26 years, from 97 through the 2023 season. It couldn't, because it was so poorly run. It was the clown show of all clown shows in sports. And if the team had had winning teams, it would have produced some winning memories and some big-time games, and we wouldn't have hated it as much as we did. But when you combined the losing and the embarrassing losing with a stadium that wasn't very attractive, nor was RFK, with some of the worst traffic issues that they never could figure out. And part of that is just our city and the traffic issues it has and the beltway, you know, where when you have a ton of traffic and it seems like it never ceases, no matter what time of day or night, no matter what day of the week. Seems like Saturday or Sunday. It doesn't matter if there's a game or not a game. There's traffic. But everything about that stadium was unpleasant. But it started with the team. The team wasn't any good. The team was an embarrassment. The stadium became a mark for opposing fans to move in and take over. That started 2007, 2008. Never forget the night the Steelers fans came in for Sunday Night Football and literally took the stadium over. That wasn't a 50-50 deal. That was an 80-20 deal, one way. 80-20, 80 Steelers fans, 20 Washington fans. But it'll be nice to get away from it. But the irony is, after all of those years, now this team looks poised to go on a run. We haven't had a run since the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. There hasn't been a run. There hasn't been a several-year period where the team's been a contender. Teams coming off 14 regular season wins, 16 overall out of, you know, their 21, you know, games played, 20 games played, 14 wins, 6 losses, and an NFC championship loss to the Eagles, in which they were 60 minutes away from advancing to the Super Bowl. They have a quarterback for the first time who looks to be elite. These last 5 seasons, you know, the 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29 seasons at FedEx Field, Northwest Field, excuse me, the stadium in Landover, may be the greatest run of the stadium's history just as it's about to close. We will likely have a lot of really good memories as fans of this team over the final 5 years. I mean, what's the over-under on playoff games that'll be played there? Only four playoff games over 27 seasons were played in Landover. There was a game against Detroit after the 99 season, wild card game. There was a game that was infamous in January of 2013, RG3's injury game against Seattle. There was a game against Green Bay after the 2015 season. Aaron Rodgers came in and beat Washington. And then remember, and this is the one I forgot when we were talking about this about a week ago, is that they had a home game, not that there were any fans there, in 2020 during COVID, when Washington, as a 7-9 division winner, hosted Tampa. Four playoff games in all of those years. 1-3 in terms of their record in those playoff games. What's the over-under on playoff games at Northwest Field over the final 5 years? It's got to be 5.5, 6, 6.5. They're going to play home playoff games. They're going to play playoff games. We know that. Hopefully, plenty of playoff games. There is a real possibility over the final 5 seasons of this stadium, they'll have 5 times the number of meaningful and memorable games than they had in the 27 years that preceded the final five. But this is really good news. It's a long way off, but we'll get to watch the progress together. And let's hope, you know, the hurdles are cleared. I would assume that there is great confidence, and we'll hear that this morning at 11, that they can get the city council to pass this, that they can get the proper zoning, that they can make the pitch, which they have to do. They're going to have to pitch how good this is for the city, the resurrection of that plot of land in particular, which has been a blight. You know, it's been sitting there vacant for so long. And yet, you know, within 2 to 3 blocks of that neighborhood are beautiful neighborhoods and very nice areas. And so they're going to turn something, hopefully, that isn't pretty into something that's great for the city. I'm excited about that as a resident of D.C., to see maybe what was done in Chinatown by Abe Poland be accomplished by Josh Harris and this mayor at the RFK site. But it'll be exciting. We're 5 years away from it, but a big announcement, and I'm sure a lot of questions hopefully answered at 11 a.m. Again, we'll carry that live on the show. All right, I want to come back and talk a little bit about the draft from over the weekend because I know that's important to many of you. We'll go through the 4 picks that have been made since we last did a show here. But on the way out of this segment, there is one of my all-time favorite sort of beginnings of a game at RFK Stadium that I've played so many times on this show over the years. It's one that's available on YouTube. The whole game is. In 1986, Washington and the New York Giants played a game in December of that year at RFK Stadium. They were the two best teams in the league. This was for first place in the NFC East, which would lead to eventually home field advantage throughout the postseason. Now, this was the year the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl, led by Lawrence Taylor in his MVP season. But this gives you a sense of the stadium, the importance of it, the games that were played. This was the league's most, the league's, not the division, not the conferences, the league's biggest game of the year. And this is how it was introed by Pat Summerall.
Redskins' offensive line is one of football's best, but today their reputation will be challenged by Lawrence Taylor and a fired-up New York defense. The Giants are confidently riding the crest of a 6-game winning streak. And with the right calls from Phil Sims, they hope to roll a 7 today. The Giants Reds also face some stiff challenges today. First, their defense must contain Washington's fleet receivers, like Gary Clark. And their unheralded pass blockers will have to contend with Dexter Manley, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Manley relishes the spotlight, and today it shines brightly in the season's biggest game. Joe Morris ran the Giants to victory in their first meeting, but today's rematch is at RFK Stadium, where the Skins are hard to beat and where tickets are impossible to find. CBS Sports presents the National Football League. Today, it's the New York Giants against the Redskins of Washington, live from RFK Stadium, sold out for the 157th consecutive time. And believe me, there is no place to play, no more enthusiastic setup than RFK.